And we're here with Keith Mullen. He's the president and CEO of Mullen & Associates, Lincolnshire, in New York City. Keith, welcome aboard.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
You know, one of the things I always like to start out with some guests is ask them a little bit about themselves. And, you know, sometimes I give a bio, but I think it would be good if you could just tell us a little bit about yourself and the organization.
Oh, God, that'd be great. Been in the outplacement and executive coaching industry over the last 20 years, servicing Fortune 500 clients ranging from industries through financial services to publishing to energy, multinational organizations from the senior levels on down to administrative staff, all on a one-on-one basis, Dave. Prior to that, I was at Abbott Laboratories in their diagnostic business, and I actually started my career out as a trader with Donaldson, Lufkin, and Genred, otherwise known as DLJ, some 20-some-odd years ago.
Which puts you into the very old category, right? No, I'm just kidding.
No, I eat a lot of yogurt, so I'm actually a much younger looking.
No, I actually know that you're about my age, and so I'll say you're extremely young. Anyways, the reality is that I wanted to talk a little bit about outplacement today. And, you know, one of the things is you and I work together in the organization Lincolnshire International. And the last half hour, we were talking with Robert Cornett from Right Express. And we talked about the fact that this is a global and international environment that we work in. And, you know, one of the things that companies can do is really know that we can service and help them throughout, you know, a global environment. So tell me of how your organization fits into that, how you deal with the organizations there in New York, and how it may be different than up here in the Northeast.
Yeah, you know, a lot of the companies here in New York that are either headquartered or have a large presence are really looking to their outplacement providers to do or accomplish a couple of things from our perspective, and what we hear from, more importantly, our chief human resource officer clients and their colleagues. And I really think what they're looking for from a firm like ours is, one, a global reach. But more than just the reach, they also want to know, do you understand the local environment in which you're operating? So while you may have certain systems and processes and so forth that are standardized or somewhat consistent throughout, what they want to know is that how is that applied locally so that their people are well taken care of? Because as they're faced with difficult decisions that impact employees, an employee's tenure with the company, more often than not, in this environment, I'm seeing companies going back to the days of we care, the brand matters, risk mitigation is important as well, but how we communicate with our employees, how we communicate with those employees that have been impacted through difficult decisions, especially in today's environment with the economy being in such duress, our organizations, our clients, are looking for us to be able to provide them support at the top level and for their junior levels, and they want to do it with a little bit more care, a little bit more caring of approach.
Well, you know, speaking of approach, one of the things that certainly firms like ours look at is the process. And what I'd like to do is have you kind of explain maybe the process and how it is a little bit different today is that technology has become more prevalent and more expected, yet there is still this personal touch that is needed in terms of coaching and assisting them with the resume development and just working them through some of the challenges that they may face because maybe they haven't gone through a layoff or a change in venue or career transition. So if you could talk a little bit about that, that would be great.
You know, Dave, you hit the nail on the head, as we say, right? Even though someone may have gone through a transition a couple of years ago or they've had been through this before, they haven't been through this before in these economic environments. And today, as you know as well as anyone, how competitive it is. Just the other day, CNN was talking about there's 4 applicants for every available job in the market today. So it's not about years. A couple of years ago, we were all talking about what makes you different, what makes you better. And in today's environment, I think a lot of the story has to be for the individual is, what have you done well? And how? So what were your responsibilities of your role? And how was your management team or how did your company evaluate your performance against those responsibilities?
We talk about that being accomplishments, you know, what they've accomplished in their career.
And that's really the key point is, where have you had impact? And at the senior level, you can set strategy, you can have impact on earnings per share, appreciation within the stock valuation, and so forth. But when you start cascading down the organization, Dave, as you know, sometimes it's more complicated or it's not as readily available to say, boy, this was my impact. So what you really got to be able to say is then for that person is, well, how did you fit in? Who provided you information that allowed you to do what you did? What information from your efforts did you produce that allowed others to then make decisions? So that you can talk about the story in terms of how you fit, and then what was the business objective of the department, the group, or the team that you were part of? What issue were you solving or contributing towards solving? So in terms of process, I really think it's important to be able to help individuals, and you talked about technology, but what they really want today is a way to be able to articulate their impact so that they feel comfortable messaging that out to an audience at large, whoever that target may be, whether it's friends, colleagues, parents, neighbors, recruiters, hiring managers, targeted companies, and the like.
We talk about the triangular process between the candidate, the technology, and the coach. So when we talk about that process, there's a dynamic that has to happen there.
I think technology, Dave, to your point, I think technology is vital today. But you have to use technology in the right way. And the common way it's used, and I think it leads to tremendous frustration, is people stand on the web, they look for an open source, they apply and hope something happens. And really, technology, in particular, social media sites such as Twitter. Twitter is a resource-rich, valuable tool that gives you current and real data on companies that you might be following. So to your earlier point about process, we think it's vital that every individual in the job search mode not only establishes what they have done and how they've done it, but they also have to establish who are the companies that might be interested in me, or who am I, might I be interested in, within a geography that makes sense. So here in the New York metropolitan tri-state area, you have a very rich environment of corporations, and you can, within 25 miles, typically find a pretty substantial list. In more suburban and urban and rural locations, you may not have as big of an opportunity, so you have to be a little bit smarter about how you would reach these organizations. And that's really where technology, in my mind, plays a big role. Sourcing that data, creating the messaging as to who might be the people that I should be talking to, what are the business problems that organization is facing, how have I faced them in previous roles, and then establishing a connection. And I think when in this environment, even though technology is so critical, we can't forget that creating a relationship and making the targeted organization aware of you time and again without being over that, crossing that proverbial line, is really important, because now they say this person really is someone that is interested and may have the background for us.
When you see candidates going out today and looking for a position, and certainly, I fully agree that they have to be more proactive than reactive, because companies are just not responding the way they used to in terms of giving feedback as to where that resume went. It's really more about now finding that person in an organization and connecting with them either through LinkedIn or some of the other ways to find out how people are there, either Hoover's database or different things like that, so that you can find a connection and actually talk to a person or directly connect with them. You know, do you see a difference in terms of the way people are landing today because of that?
You know, I think the way they're sourcing the leads and the way they're finding out who's doing things out there is different than it has been because of technology. But I have yet, and probably, Dave, maybe you have a different experience, but I have yet to see an individual be offered a position without actually having met the hiring manager or the team.
No, I don't think anybody would say that that is a good HR practice to do that.
You can, right? You've got to assess culture, and the candidate's got to assess culture. Is this the right place for me? The things that they're asking, can I do and will I do? Is my background leverageable against those objectives? I think it is very different than it's been in terms of how they source it, how they identify it, but ultimately it still comes down to you've got to meet with the person, establish some sort of a connection, show your interest. I mean, you probably have seen this, Dave. So many times people try to play it cool, because especially when they're unemployed looking, they don't want to be taken advantage of. But they've also got to convey, I want this job. I want to work at this company. And if they can do that effectively and have a story that backs it up in terms of results and impact, and they can make that meeting and they can agree and just kind of have a meeting of the minds, if you will, nothing beats that, even this environment. You still need that today.
No, that's absolutely true. From the human resource vice president or manager or talent manager that's out there that's trying to determine if outplacement in today's environment is still relevant, tell me what your philosophy is on that. Tell me what you're seeing, what you're hearing, and maybe some of the nuances that, you know, may be coming across the market today.
You know, the best companies, the companies that really care about their brand and where they're going for tomorrow and recognize talent as being the key ingredient, they care about the whole employment life cycle. So they care about how they hire, they care about how they develop you, and they care about how, when they have to make difficult decisions, they exit you. And the best companies, from what I'm seeing, are really looking at a quality level of service with regard to all three of those elements. The outplacement is important because when they've got to communicate, they're also recognizing that it's not just that person they're impacting, but those that are colleagues, peers of the individual in the company, in the group, in the department, and how they communicate to those people impacted with job loss is going to resonate with those that are currently working. And in today's environment, where it's about productivity per worker and efficiencies, if I'm going to get your heart and mind and engagement, good companies are recognizing that they've got to do each step of the employment process well. And when they drop that ball, I think it has a real impact on their business. And the trends we're seeing, actually, is some of these types of organizations are actually moving the service we provide up into the earlier into the equation. So they're redeploying people, or they're targeting people that have been impacted, but they're allowing for opportunities for redeployment, and they're actually using us to help manage that internal redeployment process with an eye towards, if this doesn't work out, we also want you to be prepared well ahead of time to externally conduct a proper job search. And Dave, you and I know from our experience up front, The positioning statement as to why you're out, the storyline in terms as to what you want to do, because the first question everybody gets asked, as you and I know, is what do you want to do and where do you want to do it and how can I help? And those questions have to be succinctly answered by all candidates at any level of job that they're looking for.
You know, it's true. You're talking about some of the changes that are out there. We are also seeing an earlier discussion in terms of internal review, in terms of the career pathing, and in terms of looking at trying to help individuals with their internal career, not only with their external exit. So I think that that is an area we're seeing a new trend in. If I won't say it's completely new, because it's been there before, but more companies even talking about that.
Yeah, I think so many companies realize that in order for them to be more competitive or to remain competitive in this environment, they've got to get their people highly engaged and committed. So not just about being on the job when you're there, but also engaged mentally when you're not on the job. And so helping guide your career, giving clear career paths. And you've probably seen this, Dave, as well. You have a candidate coming in, and what are the criteria they're looking for when they get hired? I want a good company with a great brand that's going to give me a career path opportunity, that's going to pay me a fair wage. And you know, the deciding factor oftentimes is if it's a good company or one or two offers are coming my way, boy, if they're known as a good place to work and they've got a nice market position and a nice brand value, that individual is going to take that job. Well, and then would do it for less money.
No, there's no question. And, you know, this is a family discussion, too. You have a lot of individuals who are dealing with spouses that are, you know, impacted. You have children that are impacted. That this is a big deal, and companies do need to remember that in terms of them really making sure that they're taking care of their people in all aspects.
Well, people want flexibility. They want to be able to work a little bit differently than they've had. They want to be able to leave the office, take a child to a sporting event, and then pick it back up. Or I had a situation recently where a senior-level individual was adamant about being able to drop their child off at school every day and was prepared to walk away from the opportunity if the company didn't see that that was okay. I mean, she couldn't get in there at 8:30, but she'd get there at 9 and work, you know, all day for you and late into the evening. But if she couldn't do that, she said, I'm going to walk away. Now, it became a non-issue, quite frankly, and she took the position. But that was what people are thinking today. They want that flexibility.
No, you're absolutely right. And we're talking with Keith Mullen from Mullen Associates in New York City, and we'll be right back. If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
I'm in a state of caffeination, got all my fingers shaking, must have been my large Americano, mochaccino, macchiato. Now the family's gone to bed, and that's my favorite time to get some tips on better rates. Cause my State Farm guy answers late, and even when it's not my agent, someone's standing by so patient. Getting coverage questions answered helps me to relax. Get to a better state, State Farm.
And we're back with Keith Mullen. Keith, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me again, Dave.
You know, one of the parts of the business that you talked about is executive coaching. And certainly we've talked a lot about career transition, but executive coaching is really about helping people who are in position and really getting the best out of them. What are some of the trends you're seeing in the executive coaching field?
A lot of activity these days are really about the transition from different levels within an organization. And by that I simply mean if you've gone from the individual contributor role to a supervisor to a manager to a leader. And how does one really make that transition? What is expected of you? So if I'm a manager and there are certain criteria or skill sets that they expect of me to perform and I have to excel at in order to get to the next level, but sometimes, and this is interesting, is when I make that transition into that next level, some of those very skills that I use to get there are not as applicable as they once were, or maybe the organization doesn't want me to leverage them as much and they want me to adopt or adapt to new types of skills. So a lot of coaching today is to ensure that as people are given increased responsibilities or moving throughout the organization with different kinds of roles, whether it be increased responsibility or lateral moves, that coaching is designed to really facilitate and implement that transition so that the person can have the kind of impact for themselves and that the company expects.
You know, Keith, executive coaching, which we certainly do a bunch of, and certainly as we've seen this year in 2012, a big increase in it, as I know you have. Sometimes people think that it's, you know, a big expense and that it, you know, sometimes they wonder on the value of it. And what I see is that at executive levels, it's really about getting them to that next level in terms of their ability. So if you could talk about some of the key areas or key focus areas that coaching has and can really make an impact, that might be helpful for people to really understand the value.
Oh, it could be, you know, right, so many. You know, I probably can best, you know, probably Dave, without mentioning names, I can probably give you a recent example where there's a CEO of an organization who is credited with some significant growth that the company has experienced under his leadership. However, he's recently faced some significant turnover amongst his leadership team. And combined with that, they've also run into some risk issues that they had not properly anticipated. So we were brought in to help tighten his leadership abilities around communication to his team, around setting goals and strategy, around managing the day-to-day, and in this particular case, really getting to the point of, do you like these kinds of things, or are these your core skills? And are the areas where you might have flat sides that led to some of these risk issues presenting themselves? Because in this fast-growing environment, he really took on more than he probably should have, and he probably took on more day-to-day than the role really should have required from him. So we've helped restructure the role, restructure how he communicates to his team, setting the agenda and the objectives and getting at some of the flat sides that might have caused him a little bit of, that might have blindsided him.
Now, that's a great example. We have worked certainly with a number of presidents of organizations who, at Sample, have to deal with boards and have to deal with some of the challenges that boards have in terms of their oversight. Sometimes that dynamic, working for, as one president said, many bosses, and trying to figure out the best way to approach that. So, that's another example of how executive coaching can really make a difference.
Coaching's big because, sometimes you know how it is, Dave. These leaders try to connect with every one of those people that they're responsible to or report into. And they try to adapt their styles to meet all of those needs, when in reality it's sometimes really difficult for them to be that kind of many different people. So you've really got to get people comfortable with their main style. And even at the highest levels, and if I'm a manager moving into a new level and I've never done this before, defining what my approach is and understanding how that may or may not work within my own company and how it worked in the past and how it may not work going forward based upon any number of external factors, that's really what coaching's about. I think, and then assimilation, you've dealt with this, Dave. You hire a new executive from the outside, and you want to make sure that the money you've spent and committed, that this person is, in fact, going to assimilate to your culture. Because that's culture drives so much, right? Sometimes they don't, and that's an expensive proposition for a company today.
No, and it is big money we're talking about. Your number one expense, really, is people. And you're talking about senior leadership people who are going to drive the direction of the organization, someone who's going to be a strategic partner in making sure that the planning is done. It is 3-5 year planning for these type of events.
Oh, and it's so costly when you make a mistake. The person comes in and they're learning the organization, and then they're starting to set strategy and agenda or impact, and it takes you 9-10 months to figure out if it's really the right role, and then if it's working out, terrific. But when it doesn't work out, it's another 9 months to figure out how to exit the individual. And then you've got all the associated costs. So onboarding and assimilation is a big coaching opportunity. And it's a big need within organizations, especially in a lot of cultures that are richly defined and strongly identified with.
So, we've been talking a lot about coaching and outplacement, and, we mentioned earlier about Lincolnshire International. I think it would be really good for listeners out there to understand how an organization can help them from a global perspective and what exactly that is.
Yeah, Lincolnshire is exceptionally well-positioned in the marketplace because I think as an organization, and appreciate the opportunity for the commercial, we have done a terrific job on really developing the right technology that is leading edge, that is really designed towards, one, impacting the experience for the candidate, the person going through transition, and two, giving the right information to the corporate client so that they have, in real time, ready information with regards to the data about their people in transition. But we've done it, Dave, in a way that has really focused in on the quality. And in this environment, quality matters. And even you've got to do it at price competitive points, but you have to lead with great quality, which is driven by your consultants, supported by really smart technology that's accessible 24/7, and that allows the individual to go through a process, but not necessarily always in sequence, A, B, C, because their needs are different. So our team is trained, as you know, to be able to assess where is so-and-so in the process, where do they think they need my help, and how can I apply that so that they feel comfortable, see progress, while simultaneously not skipping any of the critical steps that we know will ensure job gain outcome. And then that's a really important piece. So Lincolnshire, through our organization, is able to support our corporate clients in 29 countries. We have 140-plus locations, and we can deliver a seamless, integrated approach for those clients.
I think about how it impacts everybody's life in terms of when they're going through a stressful situation of a job transition. And it is a stressful situation. I mean, most people would tell you that the only thing worse is probably a death. Because the fact is that in some ways you are leaving a family that you may have been with for 2, 3, 5, 10, 20, or in some cases, in a recent career transition. We're talking 40 plus years that they've been with an organization. And it is a big impact to one's life. And so that something that can help them and drive them in the right direction and get them thinking about how to be forward is critical to helping them and helping the organization.
Well, you know, we all know the statistics, right? If you're a recent college graduate and you don't find a job and it takes you a couple of years or a year, it has an impact on your long-term earnings potential. We also know that if you're mid-career and you've been out of work for a year, it has an impact on your long-term earnings potential. And that is a significant stress point on all of the families, whether it be a husband who's lost his position and has to speak to his wife at night or his partner, or whether it's the wife who's the primary breadwinner and she has to go home and talk to her husband, all the pressures that she feels in the conversation with the kids. Personally speaking, I'm in this business and have been for 20 years because it has a real meaning, and it has a real impact on society, because getting people back to work reestablishes their confidence, reestablishes their stature, and provides for earnings, of course, which impacts tax rolls, which impacts all host of other things. So getting people back to work is really the most important thing I think we can do for people many, many times. And, you know, during the 08-09 crisis when the financial markets were melting, Dave, I can't tell you how many people were getting divorced during that period due to their stress related of this. Imagine the impact and the ripple effect on all of the families.
No, it's very true. And this is very important work. And, you know, one of the things that we talk about a lot is how we make an impact. And it's one person at a time, but it makes a difference. So, Keith, I want to thank you very much for joining us today. I know that you and I will actually be getting together pretty soon in Dallas, Texas for our next event. And I'm looking forward to seeing you.
Dave, I look forward to seeing you, and I want to express my appreciation for inviting me to participate today, and thank you so much.
No problem at all.